So, this is a very big church for those of you who are new or haven't been coming very long. This church meets at four different locations across the city. Many of you won't have seen each other before, and many of you, it will be long-lost friends being reunited. So, my name is Karen Boone, and I go to the Hove site. You can all come to the Hove site on Sunday if you'd like. You'd be really welcome. And my husband is one of the leaders of this church, and he wasn't born in Brighton, but he has been in Brighton for nearly 40 years, and he used to come to this church, and I came to Brighton to marry him, so I am therefore part of this church, which is great, and I love it. And I get to be on the team for this event, which is just such a great privilege, and I'm so excited to see so many people here, and it's just so great to come to an event where we can feel built up, we can be encouraged, we can have truth, be fed. We can come here feeling hungry and be fed both by soup and by the living Father. So, So now I'm going to introduce you to three amazing women, all very different, but equally just so special, and I think that we're going to learn quite a bit from them. I think women tick really well by listening to people's testimonies and saying, I'm like that, I'm like that. Oh, I can learn like that. Oh, I can do that. And you just kind of feel really, oh, it's okay. We're all kind of on the same page and we can all move forward together. So I want to introduce you to Mel, who has been in this church for how many years? 18. And you've been married 17 years today. Hey. Give Phil a wave, he's at the back. I'm not going to embarrass you anymore, but this time 17 years ago, you did say I do. Yeah, do you want to say it again?
No, I do.
So that's Mel. Helen, who's been in this church for 12 years. Helen was one of the first people I met when I came to Brighton, and she was a leader, and I was quite scared of the leader. But I went to her house for a leaders meeting, and she served really nice tea and cake, and I remember that moment. I've instantly felt at home in your house, so thank you so much. 12 years on, I get to tell you, or 10 years on.
I'm sorry, I don't remember.
I just remember being so scared, and you made me feel at ease. And then the lovely Debs, who has been in the church for 7 years. Yeah. And I don't know Debs very well, but it's funny. I've heard of her a lot, and I know some of her story, but I've only just met her, which is a real privilege, because that's the perks of my job. So I'm going to kick off by saying, we're going to talk to Helen first. Helen is a woman who has got lots to say, and I'm just going to say, just go for it, because you can tell us some stuff.
I was quite terrified when I was asked to give my testimony of how I lean on God for strength, because I am genuinely really rubbish at it. I am totally wired to be independent, self-sufficient, go it on my own, fix things, do things, cope with things, and head down, wish, let's go. And I am constantly trying to train myself to stop, breathe, pray, look up, and move on leaning on God rather than myself. So it's kind of, this is really not a masterclass in how to do it. It's hopefully an encouragement that you can make a daily choice, an hourly choice, an in-the-moment choice to lean on God. So I started thinking about, when I was asked to do this, started thinking about what does it mean to lean on God for strength? And I thought, well, what is strength? And I was brought up by my mum, who... So my parents are divorced, and my mum is incredibly strong. She is independent, she copes, she's very low maintenance, she can do anything. And I guess that's been instilled in me. And I'm also a lawyer, so you don't want a lawyer who's going to crack up. You don't want a lawyer who's going to look weak. You want a lawyer who is strong and together and in control. So all of these things sort of feed together to make me the sort of person who looks like I've got it together and is trying desperately in my own strength to hold it together. But quite a lot of the time, actually, I haven't. And I'm learning and learning that actually I am not strong enough to hold it all together. I can't keep all the plates spinning. I loved what Davina said about the filing cabinet and all the papers, because I'm like, I feel like my brain is Internet Explorer and I've got too many windows open and it's gradually shutting down. So what I have to try and do in choosing to lean on God for strength is I have to go through this process of remembering who God is and who I am. So who God is in that he is way bigger than me. I get that confused quite a lot. So he's way bigger than me. And who I am smaller than God. I am not God. But also, I am his daughter. He has chosen me. He is with me. He is so for me. So there's remembering those and getting them in balance. And then in terms of the situation I'm in, remembering I'm called to that. So I think, again, like Davina said, you can believe lies. So I can go to work and believe that that makes me not such a good mum, or I can be at work part-time, not full-time, and believe that that means I'm not such a good lawyer. And actually, I feel that God has called me to be a mum and to be a lawyer, and he's called me to the place of work I'm in. And I suppose that comes through. So there's the general leaning of God, but then there's the sort of rubber hits the road when you're in a meeting and someone's looking at you and they're going to ask you a question and you know you don't know the answer. And the shooting up an arrow and saying, oh God, please help. And then the peace that comes of, oh, actually, it's not that I need to know the answer. It's not saying, God, please drop which section of which act I need to refer to now into my head. It's the peace of knowing it doesn't matter if I know the answer or not, because there's a bigger picture. And just because I don't know the answer doesn't mean I'm not the right lawyer for this job, for this case. So I suppose I keep bringing it back to security in God and security in what he's called me to do and where he's called me to be. And I suppose when I say calling, you could think that means I've had some bright lights in the sky saying, and I hope no one ever gets this, you will be a pensions lawyer, because that is really not cool. When you're a Christian, you're supposed to be a teacher, a doctor, or maybe a human rights lawyer, but pensions lawyer, no. That's not, I'm not talking about some amazing vocational job, but actually God wants me to be a pensions lawyer and he wants me in the workplace I'm in. And if he didn't want me there, he would move me somewhere else or give me a kick up the backside to do something else. And he hasn't, and so I can trust and have confidence in the truth that I'm where he wants me. And that's where the calling and the identity and all of that comes from.
Thank you. That's great. See, my job today is just to make them feel at ease and just let them do the talking. So that's working, isn't it? It's great.
Thanks.
Totally the opposite now. Helen juggles work and home and church and stuff, and then lovely Mel, your work is all under one roof. But thing is, you're both of you are both on the same mission. You're building church, you're building your family, you're just building for the next generation all the time. I just want to hear your story because you've got great things to say.
Okay, I've just got it's a testimony of how as a family we had to really lean on God and just totally trust in him. And I just want to start, it was kind of before we got, Phil and I got married, he said to me, if you're marrying me for my money, then don't, because because I'm going to work for the church full time. He'd had like prophetic words and stuff. So I was like, oh, well, that's fine. I'm not marrying you for your money. And so basically, at the time, we only had three kids. And he got made redundant from a training consultancy job that he was doing, and no other job to go to. So as a family, we prayed, like, what are we going to do? Should he kind of get another job or whatever? So we didn't feel that that was right. So what we did feel was right was that he worked completely voluntary for the church for however long, you know, we felt was right. And, so we had literally no income because I was at home with the children. And, so we just had to completely just rely on God to supply everything so that we could, you know, like, keep the roof over our heads and just the basic stuff. So, yeah.
Great. So in that time, I know there was definitely, as Helen calls it, pinch points,
yeah.
pressure points, where you and Phil would have had to say, man, we need to lean on God. And how did he provide for you, and what were the kind of prayers that you were praying?
There was one particular time when we were literally a day away from, like, the mortgage being paid and kind of all the other bills come out on the same day. And we literally didn't have anything, really. And so, again, as a family, we would always pray and, like, involve the children as well. And so we'd all pray. And literally that night, I think it was a couple of £1,000, literally, came through the door, which, you know, more than covered the mortgage and everything else that we needed to pay. So, yeah.
And I know that, because that was about 2 years that you were living like that.
Yeah, it was just under two years.
So it's not just a few weeks here and there. This is 2 years. Yeah. And then you went on to have two more kids.
Yeah.
So that journey for that 2 years, I feel like has really built immense foundations in the Turner family. And I know that you serve the church and serve your community and the people that you see regularly in such a way that we can't help but want to walk in your shadows and say, please, can we copy what you're doing? But you guys have got such strength about how you make your decisions and how you prayerfully, you don't take things lightly, but you do have this immense faith in God. And and I know that you take big risks for God because of that two-year journey. And we're so thankful that you're part of the team here. Thanks, Mel.
Thank you.
On to my next lovely lady, who has got a great story about leaning on God. And I think that you're kind of in the throes right now of exercising the leaning on God, trying to find strength, trying to find the ability to keep the dreams alive. So you're in a job at the moment that you enjoy, and you're in the right place. And I'm going to launch you into your little bit now.
It's kind of a couple of years ago, I felt God tell me to write a book to tell the story of a girl who'd been trafficked and sold into the sex trade. God really sort of put it on my heart, and I felt very clearly that he told me, you need to write this and I'm going to use it, and this is what you can do in the kind of the fight against slavery, really. So I moved away from Bryson, I moved back home, and I wrote a book. And basically...
What's the name of the book?
It's called Hush, My Dear. So at the moment, I'm in the process of trying to get it published, which is just a really... It's an emotional roller coaster, really. I managed to get an agent, which is amazing, and then she's kind of been fighting for me to try and get it published. But it's just big periods of silence, to be honest. Then you get some potentially positive news, and then it doesn't really go any further, and it's just kind of, that's sort of where I am. I am doing a job, completely different job, which is great to have a job, but equally, this is my book, is what I really... is my dream, is what I really want to happen, is for that to be published. I guess I'm, at the moment, I'm really just very much like today in the battle of trusting God for what he said to me. it all just feels, at the moment, very quiet. And it's kind of a weird struggle between trying to fight in prayer for what he's said to me, but also surrender and trust him. So, and it's just trying to figure out what that looks like and working through how much am I needing to give up and submit, and then how much am I needing to hold on to and fight for. And yeah.
And in my conversations with you, it sounds like that you spend a lot of time in conversation with God, because you are saying to him things like, I hope this isn't in vain. I know that you said this, so now I need to trust you. And you're going back to the Bible, you're going back to verses, you're going back to truth, you're going back to prophetic words, and kind of holding it. But it's been a few years, eh?
It's been about a year now, a year and a half, that I've been trying to get it published. And it's just doubts in terms of, like, was I actually supposed to do this? Did I just get it wrong? And patience, and learning patience, and also just, there's maybe some anger there sometimes, where I'm like, I wrote this awful book that was so difficult, and I kind of had depression off the back of it, and nightmares, and all this stuff. And I really felt, walking through that was, for a purpose. And it kind of just feels like, come on. But at the same time, trying to be just, just trusting God in the silence, that he's still working, and that it wasn't in vain, and that he birthed the dream for a reason, and yeah, all the stuff we were talking about, really.
If you are in a position where you can identify with these three ladies, please come and speak to them at the end. Please grab them. They would love to pray for you. You can always pray for them as well with their everyday lives going on. But I just want you to be encouraged that you're not alone in your walk with God, that there are many of us who are right beside you. So I hope you're encouraged. Please ask them more questions. When you see them in the site, please say hi, introduce yourself to them, because they won't know everybody. But please just consider them one of your sisters, and they would love just to pray for you and talk to you in the ministry time, or when the worship time, or at the end, or another day. So should we give them a big round of applause?